Welcome to the Post-Christian Podcast, where we help you make disciples in our increasingly post-Christian world. My name is Eric Bryant. I'm one of the executive pastors at Gateway Church in Austin, Texas, along with the founder of Catalyzing Community. You can go to ericbryant.org to sign up for my email newsletter to receive free resources. Well, I'm excited today on this episode of the Post-Christian Podcast. I have with me Michelle Jones. How are you doing, Michelle?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm very eager to have this conversation with you. You're a pastor in Portland, and you may or may not know this. There's a little bit of a rivalry between Austin and Portland.
I'm not surprised by that.
We claim, and I personally believe, that we started the Keep Austin Weird phrase, whereas I hear there's rumblings that in Portland, they think they originated that idea.
Yeah, no, we win that one.
You think so?
Well, we win that. Well, no. Austin didn't get cool until a few years ago.
Well, Portland has definitely been on the edge for quite a long time. How long have you been in Portland?
I've only been here 7 years.
7 years. Have you been at Imago Dei this entire time then?
Yep. I came out here to go to Imago Dei. As a matter of fact, January 13th is my 7th year.
Well, happy 7th year anniversary. And where were you doing ministry before?
You know, before that, I was actually at a church in Southern California called New Song Community Church.
Yeah.
Where Dave Gibbons is the pastor.
Dave and I go way back. That's amazing. I wonder if our times intersected. That's very cool. Yeah. I was at Mosaic and we did a lot with New Song.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, no wonder you went from Mosaic to Austin, Texas. You're like cool. You're like OG cool.
We moved to Austin. I mean, it was certainly up in the coming city for sure, but it does feel like we got here right before everybody else started coming.
Exactly. That's how it always happens.
That's right.
You know, so I think that if I knew how to be ahead of a curve, I'd get there, buy a house, and then wait till it got cool and then leave.
That's right. Well, it's really cool. We overlap a little bit. Let's talk about ministry in Portland, because I feel like there is a lot we can learn. Those of us who are listening in areas that are becoming more post-Christian or have been post-Christian for a while, how have you seen ministry in Portland differ from Southern California or other places you've been?
You know, I might be the only person who actually believes this, but when I got to Portland, the first thing I noticed about Portland, even before I moved here, was that Portland's greatest strength is also its greatest weakness. It's different from other places in that it is nice and weird, which is mm-hmm. fine by me. But its greatest strength and its greatest weakness is that it is open to everything, like everything. Now, the downside of that, of course, is that it's open to everything. But the upside to that is that the gospel is kind of like, you know, it's doable here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is entertainable here in ways that it is not in other places. Now, I might be the only person who believes that or feels that way, but I have found not so much that it's easier here, but that it is different in that it keeps us accountable as pastors.
Mm.
Because the BS meter here is, it's way up here. So there's no, you can't fake the gospel here. You can't fake Jesus here. You can't fake and say, oh, well, I love Jesus, and then walk past a homeless person. They will call you out.
Right.
You know, so it is one of my favorite things about this place that sets it apart, I think, from a lot of other places.
Well, it's true. When you have people who do not have that kind of cultural Christianity, or they don't pretend to be Christians, there is something intriguing about the message of Jesus when we can share it in its truly countercultural way. And it sounds like that is part of what you enjoy there. Now, you mentioned the homeless population in cities like Austin and Portland.
And
Los Angeles, some of these places we've lived. They tend to be more progressive cities, which tend to have laws that make it a little more lenient, perhaps, on those without a home. But how have you seen ministry change, adjust Since the pandemic, what has been difficult? What has been challenging with all that Portland went through? How have you seen ministry get harder or get easier?
It's gotten easier with the people who are outside of church, for me anyway, because I mean, it is black and white. Do you love me? Can you see me? Can I trust you? Those are simple, but basic questions that matter to people. Inside the church, I think we went through this panic of two things. We went through a panic of, oh my gosh, what is this about? What is happening to us? And then I think people kind of had to get to a place where they were, what is church? What's it for? Why are we here? Why does it matter? Why do I need to show up on Sunday? Why can't I just watch it online? Mm-hmm. You know, and this is much more convenient. And we had to come to grips with what is church and why are we here? And why does it matter? You know, and so for a season, I think that has lasted all the way until, I would say recently, I think people are starting to kind of come back because they realize, yeah, this is necessary. And yeah, I do need to do this. And I need to show up, and showing up actually matters. Mm. And, you know, church is not Costco where I just kind of get to go and get whatever it is that I need conveniently, or, you know, church is not 7-Eleven anymore.
Yeah,
you know, and I have to be honest about that. So I think it's gotten harder inside the church because we've had to come to grips with the fact that church is not there for us as consumers. Mm. It's there for reasons other than that. Outside of the church, it's, are you or are you not? You know, yeah. Just like Jesus always got it down to two things. Is you is or is you ain't? Mine.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you is, feed the poor. You know, feed the hungry, take care of the poor, see the prisoner, all those things.
Yeah.
If you ain't, then I'm not worried about it.
Well, and that's where discipleship, you know, as the discipleship pastor there, you know, a lot of times when people hear the word discipleship, they're thinking about loving God, but they're not necessarily thinking about loving people, which is actually mm-hmm. part of discipleship too. Like really, discipleship is becoming more like Jesus. What are some of the things that you guys are doing at Imago Dei that's helping people love God more, love others more, love their neighbor more? What are some signs of God at work among you right now?
I think we're learning that loving God actually means loving others.
That's
the
good.
Two are not, they cannot exist apart from one another. You show me a person who says they love God and they don't love people, then I can tell you that they don't love God. Because it's we always think in terms of growth, that those two things can be separate, and they can't be. And what we're finding, and I think the thing that that I love about Imago Dei, and I lay this at the feet of our founding pastor Rick McKinley, is it's that you cannot do one without the other. Yeah. That it is a matter of how you love the people that are in your midst, the people who are there, not just the people who are inside those walls, but the people that you invite inside those walls, the people who invite you to come outside of those walls. And Eugene Peterson said that, you know, the gospel is local wisdom locally applied. Hmm. And I think he's right. And I think it is, you know, what we are supposed to be here at Imago. Rick would always say, we want to be the kind of church that when if this church folded tomorrow, that the city would miss us.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's what we continue to work at and continue to care about and continue to encourage here. And I would not want to be or do church any other way.
Yeah.
So I think that's and to be able to say to our people things like, you know, discomfort, it comes with the territory.
Yeah.
It just does. Because we think entitled to our comfort, and we're not. We are not entitled to our comfort. So when you get uncomfortable, to know things like discomfort is always an invitation to trust God, always, 100% of the time. And if in the kingdom, as I like to say, then discomfort comes with it. Discomfort comes along with it. And so our people are getting used to being uncomfortable. And we call it out, we name it. We just go, yeah, that thing right there that made you uncomfortable, good. Yeah. Let's see what we can do with that.
Lean into that. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, Rick is someone I've known for years. We've had him on this podcast. He recently stepped aside. You've got a new
Yeah.
senior pastor. There are lots of churches either considering a succession plan or going through it now, will go through it in the future. What are some ways you feel Imago Dei handled that well? Like, what are some good things we can learn from how you guys did that?
I think it was, I think one of the things that we did particularly well was, we invited a group of people into the process, not, okay, hey, we're going to do this thing. And you just kind of like throw it out there and let everybody kind of like have a say. But we took people who are trusted in the community and not just the elders, but people who are trusted in the community and sorted them into groups. So we had a group of trusted people who were tasked with the responsibility of prayer. You had an elder and a pastor overseeing a group of people who would vet the candidates who actually applied for the position, and so you had those people. You had a group of people who were tasked with the responsibility of celebrating Rick and also taking the time to actually pay attention to what it was that made 22 years even possible, so that when we get to where it is we're going, we know that there are a lot of hands on things. It's like oftentimes you'll see at a church where they'll make a decision and one person will make that decision and everybody else is just kind of asked to just go along with it. Now, that's not to say that there are no challenges or that there's not some getting used to or that everybody in the entire world said, hey, yay, everything's wonderful. That's not to say that, but it is to say that a lot more people took responsibility in this than one.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Well, and recently you've started helping host the Bible Project podcast, one of my favorite podcasts, and you do such a great job on there, Michelle. How did that come about?
That's very kind of you. I like to say the reason is they just kind of threw a rock and it landed on my office, which is downstairs. But they have been kind enough to actually give me more and more things to do. Somebody asked me to do the voice of Lady Wisdom for one of
Oh,
their
that's how
videos.
you got it.
Yeah, that's how it started. And so I got to do that, and that was so fun. And I did voiceovers a long, long time ago, before I was even in ministry. And it's something that I didn't pursue it or chase it or anything, but it's just something that happened. And I just happened to actually say in my prayers, like not even a week prior to that happening, you know what, God, I'd like to do some more voiceovers. And this opportunity came up, and I went upstairs to their offices and just did it. And then it went from there to a short-lived podcast that they had, and I did the Bible reading for that.
Oh, that was you. I listened to that all last
Reflections.
year. Yes.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, that was me. But I just did the Bible stuff. I didn't do the
Yes.
actual voiceover stuff. And then I got to do the Anointed video,
Very
and that
cool.
was one of the few where they actually had like another voiceover do it as opposed to Tim and John. And so that was lots of fun. And then when this came up, I was just like, I am in.
That's so
I'm in.
great.
I love working on this thing. I've learned more than I would just doing a Bible study.
Well, it's really good, and you're teaching us. I mean, the Bible Project, of course, is one of my favorite resources I point people towards all the time.
Yeah.
And this new, I mean, the podcast is not new, but the new version of it definitely has taken it to a whole new level. It has its own
Yeah.
separate kind of YouTube channel now. I highly recommend it. What are some things being in that same building, now being a part of that team as part of what you do? What are some creative ways you've seen people use these resources to reach people, to help people grow? What are some advice you have for maximizing the Bible Project?
I would say there's everything from if you're 5 years old to if you are a 50-something year old Bible nerd, there is something for everybody. And so we, for example, we've got a group of people going through the book of John, and John Collins actually helped sort that book out into 10 weeks worth of chapters, and combining it with Bible Project videos and Bible Project resources. There's so much stuff. Like you could look at a 7-minute video on the book of John, or you could go and find that they have like a big outline that's actually on the website on paper. You could print out that would give you the whole entire book organized. You could do the classroom where you have like university level classes on the Hebrew Bible and biblical poetry and things like that. And there's so many different things. And you can combine not just what it is you're studying, but what you're studying with what they're doing and what they've provided. It could be as turnkey as there's a church in Hawaii that John is working with, and they're developing like just all of these like PowerPoint and videos stuff so that a family could actually go and sit in front of a TV and just go through classes week by week by week by week. Wow. So there was a church in Hawaii where the guy just said, you know what? I think I want Bible Project resources to be usable for an entire family. And so they're working on that at That's that great. Church. Yeah. And the Bible Project, they encourage people to come up with ways. They're encouraging that. So it's not like they're going, oh, this is our stuff and you can't use it. They're actually encouraging different people and different churches to just come up with creative ways to be able to use their things and then share it so that they can go, oh, yeah, we can do that. So
I love it. That's really so great. Love those guys there. Love that you're a part of the team. BibleProject.com. IDCPDX is Imago Days.
That's us.
Website. Of course, Rick McKinley's got several books. We look forward to one day, Michelle, having a good book out there. But Michelle,
I always just tell people, manage your expectations. I mean, I'm no Tim Mackey. I'm no Rick McKinley. And I don't know how God decided he was going to bless me to be around these geniuses, but I'm soaking it up.
Well, let me just say, they're better having you with them. So thanks for all you do, and grateful for the time together.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us on the Post-Christian Podcast. More resources available at ericbryant.org.